From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. The 91st Annual Academy Awards took place last night, with Green Book earning a surprise Best Picture win, and Roma, Black Panther, and Bohemian Rhapsody each claiming multiple awards. Coming up on Forum, we review the winners, the upsets, and the highlights from the ceremony, which was hostless for the first time in 30 years. And we want to hear from you. Did your favorite film get a nod? And how did this year's ceremony stack up to past years? It's all coming up after the news. Welcome to this morning's Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The 91st annual Oscars ceremony took place last night, and in what some consider an upset, Green Book took Best Picture, beating out critical favorites Roma and Black Klansman, whose director, Spike Lee, had this to say.
I'm snake bit. I mean, every time somebody's driving somebody, I lose. They changed the seated arrangement.
In this segment, we'll parse the winners and also-rans and talk about the ceremony's highlights. And we want to hear from you. What was your take on the evening, and did the most deserving get their due? You can join us at our toll-free number, and that number is 866-733-6786. And joining us for the hour is Travell Anderson, Director of Culture and Entertainment with Out Magazine. Good to have you with us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we also have Tim Gerson with us, senior U.S. critic for Screen International and vice president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association, author of a couple books, Martin Scorsese and 10 Scenes, and Filmcraft Screenwriting. Welcome to the program, Tim Gerson.
Thank you for having me.
And do we know, is Martin Scorsese's The Irishman a remake of The Other Irishman, or is it a new Irishman?
I mean, it's based on a true story, but it is its own specific Irishman.
Okay, I thought you'd have the truth on that one. And we also have Claudia Puig with us, back with us on Forum, president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. Claudia, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And let me begin with you. You've come out, along with some other people, right to the core of a good deal of controversy over the selection of Green Book. And it seems to be a criticism that has to do with it. Well, first of all, an important criticism that maybe Don Stanley's family, the African-American character, wasn't consulted. And they have described the events, the real events that the film is based on, as a symphony of lies. But the real criticism to the heart of the movie being the best movie is it's a feel-good movie and it's too much from a white point of view. That's what we're hearing on Twitter, and that's what essentially you've said.
Yes, that's what I will continue saying till the day I die.
Well, how do you really feel?
Yeah. Yes, Don Shirley's family, you know, they had a very valid complaint, but you know, maybe if the movie had been better, we could, you know, somehow accept this. But it's at best, this is a very conventional, formulaic, superficial, sitcom-y, cliched movie. And at worst, it's kind of, you know, making people feel good about racism. It's a supposedly feel-good movie that reduces, you know, a huge problem that we are still in the thick of to this simple little story. And I find it galling that it won Best Picture.
I hear your passion. And yet the argument on the counter side of that is it was entertaining. And not only that, but not racism is not dead, but Jim Crow is dead. I mean, the laws that existed that made people drink from different water fountains and sit in the back of the bus and all that, that is gone.
Well, the laws are, but the attitudes are still there. The feelings might still be underlying them. You know, I think we've seen a lot of examples, Charlottesville being one of them, which, you know, was beautifully depicted in Black Klansman, which I would have much preferred to see win Best Picture. This is, to me, the gall of white filmmakers trying to blithely, you know, depict this alienation of a black man from his own blackness in the way that they did with the fried chicken scenes. And, you know, the white guy glibly trying to teach a black musician about Aretha Franklin. All of it just was so cringe-inducing.
I wonder, Travell Anderson, if you felt differently, because you interviewed Octavia Spencer, one of the producers of Green Book, and she had some very favorable things to say. She thought it was a very human film. She was glad she signed on to it. Can you comment?
Yeah, I mean, she was happy that she signed on to it and helped it come to fruition. But, I mean, I think we also can't forget that she was in The Help. So she might have a particular leaning to a certain type of film that doesn't really treat its black characters the best way that it could. That being said, I mean, I'd agree with Claudia. I think Green Book, it's not the best film of the year. Sure, it is a solid, it checks all the boxes of being something that people might consider to be Oscar-worthy and consider to be good. But what it does is it basically placates white people's feelings around race and around racism, and makes them think that they can somehow teach a black person about their blackness, which I kind of resent. And I think we've seen with the filmmakers and the ways they've been speaking about the controversy with Dr. Don Shirley's family saying that there are a number of inaccuracies with the film goes to show us that they are kind of, you know, part of the problem when it comes to the ways in which black folks in particular are depicted on screen.
And it looks like we have unanimity on this with our three critics. Tim Gerson, you're in the same corner, aren't you?
Yes, very much so. Last week, actually, for Rolling Stone, I was asked to write a piece about basically the doomsday scenario, which would be, if Green Book wins, what does that mean? And, you know, last week I wrote this, and I still feel this because I reread it this morning. Green Book is a movie that I think a lot of us who, first of all, love movies, but also do love the Academy Awards and do think that they are important in terms of talking about creating a canon of what are the quote-unquote good movies in Hollywood history. I think a lot of us really hoped that we were past the era of the Driving Miss Daisies and the Crashes and these sorts of movies, which, you know, have already been sort of spoken about very eloquently, are movies that placate a certain audience and tell that audience, yeah, racism is bad, but you know what? It's actually not as bad as it used to be, or it can be better if we all just hang out more with one another and just get to know each other as people. That's a really lovely sentiment, but I think anybody who lives in the real world knows racism is much more complicated than that. And the problem with Green Book winning is it feels like, despite the Academy in the last few years, to their credit, trying to diversify and broaden the membership to bring in more voices and the voices that were not being represented in the Academy, the hope was a movie like Green Book would not win Best Picture anymore. It's a nice movie. It's a fine movie. Whatever. It is not the best film of the year, clearly. But my worry for weeks has been that there is still this contingent in the Academy that looks at that movie as being comforting and reassuring and feel good and would still vote for it over much more sort of challenging, provocative, artistic films. Green Book is easy. Green Book is a type of movie that you can kind of recommend to people. You know it's not going to trouble them very much. And the Academy should do better. The Academy should not just honor a movie like that. They should honor a movie more challenging than that. So Green Book's win, I have to say, was not entirely surprising for me last night, but certainly disappointing.
Well, Justin Chang may have said it best for all of you when he said it was the best worst picture since Crash, which you have alluded to here, Tim. I'm also struck by the fact that, well, let me read a comment. Comments are coming in. We'll read them as they come in. Morgan writes, all the best picture nods are worthy films. Green Book deserved it as much as any of them. The acting was amazing. I think maybe all in agreement on that. The acting was pretty amazing, wasn't it, Claudia?
Yes, the acting was the best thing about it, particularly by Mahershala Ali. I felt like Viggo Mortensen's performance he's a really good actor. It wasn't one of his best. I felt like it was a little bit of a caricature. We've seen that, you know, hey, what's the matter, you Italian guy, kind of before. But
we've seen him on The Sopranos, really, I think, haven't we?
Yes, I think he watched a few of Sopranos preparing for that role. But no, I think the acting was fine. I have no problem with the acting. I think it's the screenplay that's the bigger issue. And it won for original screenplay, which was also galling.
Well, there's much more to talk about than Green Book. And let me get a caller on, though, who wants to say something about it. Don, go ahead.
Yes, I had a feeling it was going to win because of the director and the producer. I can't celebrate a lie. If it's 99% truth stuffed in 1% of a lie, isn't it still a lie? The other point I wanted to make is our truth is never celebrated when it's told by us and told accurately. it has to be whitened down in order to be accepted and then to be celebrated and honored and given awards. I find that pretty much the climate of America.
All right, Don, I appreciate your call, and thank you for letting us know what you thought. And a lot of people thought it was very diverse last night. Let me go to that, Tim Grierson, as opposed to perhaps the concern about Green Book. There are a lot of presenters, and what some say was better than having Kevin Hart as the lone host. I don't know how you feel about that as well, but certainly a lot of presenters and some awards that were taken by people of African-American background that had never been taken by African-Americans before, and women.
Yeah, you know, what's funny for me is that the first three-fourths of the show was really great, and I found really moving in a lot of ways. I thought a lot of the speeches were quite poignant and quite touching and seemed to seize the moment and understand the sort of historical significance. You mentioned this a little bit, Michael, but, you know, Ruthie Carter winning for costume design for Black Panther, Hannah Beagler winning for Black Panther for production design, and sort of them talking about their experiences in the industry and coming to that moment and being on that stage, for both of them, a lot of difficulty, a lot of hardships along the way, and finally getting to that moment was quite touching. I found it quite moving in a lot of ways. So most of the show, I think, actually, the in terms of just the quality of the winners and the quality of their speeches, I thought a lot of them were really quite terrific. And I think I don't want to keep harping on Green Book, but I will say that the caliber of the speeches for Green Book versus a lot of the other speeches last night, I noticed a contrast. For me, a lot of the winners understood that they are part of a changing landscape in Hollywood, that it's become a much more diverse group of artists who are being acknowledged and given their chance to shine. There's still a lot of work that Hollywood needs to do, but last night felt like two or three good steps in the right direction. And so in terms of whether there was a host or not a host, my feeling was I was actually happy not to have a host. I thought the show had a nice energy to it. And also I felt like, as opposed to the focus being on the host and whether or not he or she is funny or good enough as the host, we actually thought more about the winners and the presenters and the musical performances. It was actually more about like the films themselves as opposed to a host. If the Academy decides not to do a host anymore, I think I'm okay with that.
Let me go back to you, Trevelle Anderson, on this. Were you disappointed that Kevin Hart was not the host? And you must have been fairly elated about Regina King, because she won for Best Supporting Actress in If Beale Street Could Talk, and I know you did an extensive interview with her.
Yeah, you know, regarding the host situation, I think we actually fared better not having a host. The pace of the show seemed to feel a lot better. By hour two, I didn't feel like I was in hour four, and I think that's a great feeling that you want your audience to have. It seemed to move quickly to me, without having somebody come out and, you know, do their obligatory, you know, shtick and try to laugh and reflect on what's going on. I am glad that, you know, Kevin Hart stepped down in the whole hubbub, only because I feel like we would have still been talking about it. This whole conversation probably would have been about, did he redeem himself from that? And regarding, you know, Regina King, I am so glad that she's finally getting her due. She has been in this industry for over 30 some odd years, doing a lot of background work, really, a lot of supporting work, really. And while she still has a supporting role in If Beale Street Could Talk, I think we really got a chance. Or rather, I'd say I think the broader audience got a chance to finally see how fabulous and amazing she is. And I think her speech showed that. And hopefully we get to see her in more weighty, more full roles to come.
And Trevelle, would you have liked to have seen, I presume, Black Panther or Black Klansman as the winner of the best film?
Black Panther was my pick, only because I feel like we're at a point in the industry where the Oscars and who wins the top Oscars should signal where we want to go. And I think Black Panther represented a landmark and represents a landmark moment in our industry where we see, you know, this film that centers on a uniquely Black Afrofuturistic experience being one of the top, you know, grossing movies ever, and it really kind of having a place in the culture. culture, not only now, but for years to come. I think we'll look back on the Oscars of last night in 10, 15, 20 years, and we'll say that we got it wrong with Green Book.
Yeah, and I was interested in reading some of your comments about our own homeboy here, Ryan Coogler, Oakland native, who made Fruitvale Station, which many people here in the Bay Area remember. And you pointed out that that had a $1 million budget, whereas Creed, which he did afterward, had a $40 million budget, and Black Panther, $200 million budget. Quite a difference in those expenses in terms of the budgets. Some winners used the moment to call attention to political and social issues, and I wanted to get into that with our three critics. We're talking with Trevelle Anderson and Claudia Puig and Tim Grierson, and we're going to talk with you and bring you into this. Many thoughts about winners and losers. You know, I always hate to use the word snub about the Oscars, but there were those concerns, and especially with Boots Riley. Sorry to bother you again. Local Oakland native who made a film that got a good deal of attention but didn't make it into the best film categories. And you may want to comment on what didn't make it or what didn't win, as well as the winners. One of the big winners was, of course, Alfonso Cuarón. Here's he accepting the Best Directing Award for Roma.
I want to thank the Academy for recognizing a film centered around an indigenous woman, one of the 70 million domestic workers in the world without works, without work rights, a character that historically had been relegated in the background in cinema. As artists, our job is to look where others don't. This responsibility becomes much more important in times when we are being encouraged to look away.
Well, that, Claudia Puig, was one of the more political moments, and there were a few of them, as there always are at the Oscars, but there weren't necessarily as many, I mean, or of a different vintage. When, for example, the award was accepted by Rami Malek, for Bohemian Rhapsody, he said something about being an immigrant and about the portrayal of Freddie Mercury as a gay man and so forth. But it was more muted than it's been in the past. It weren't, in other words, long soliloquies about some political statement of that sort.
No, they weren't long soliloquies, but I thought they were very human moments. I loved the diversity. What my colleagues have been talking about, I feel exactly the same. I think that I loved hearing foreign languages spoken, and we heard Spanish spoken by Alfonso Cuarón, by Diego Luna, I think Javier Bardem even, too. I loved hearing Sosa spoken by Trevor Noah. That's never happened before. I loved that Rami Malek spoke of being a first-generation American and being a son of immigrants. I mean, when you think about that, of the four acting winners, three were people of color: Regina King, Mahershala Ali, and Rami Malek. Then you have Alfonso Cuarón, and that film, the fact that it won the best foreign language film was huge for Mexico. Mexico has never won a foreign language film Oscar, which is kind of shocking when you think about it.
Do you think maybe now they'll build a wall, pay for the wall?
Oh, we're not even going to go there. But there were a few comments about, tearing down walls and building bridges. And thank goodness for that.
What about John Lewis coming out with Green Book and, I mean, coming out center stage and talking about how it affected him? Claudia?
Yeah, well, I think he's a wonderful spokesperson for that era. And, as a civil rights hero, it's wonderful always to hear from him. And I'm sure it spoke to him because of, being up close and personal with all of what he went through. So it's always wonderful to hear from him.
Well, it's not your parents or grandparents' Oscars anymore. No, I never saw Jack Nicholson. In fact, I haven't seen him in the last few Oscars. No Billy Crystal. It's a very different kind of Oscars, especially in terms of the diversity, as you said, Claudia. And I'll go back to you, Tim Grierson, on perhaps what was one of the biggest surprises of the evening, and that was Olivia Colman getting an Oscar. Let's hear.
My kids are at home and watching. Look. Well, if you're not, then well done. But I sort of hope you are. This is not going to happen again. And any little girl who's practicing their speech on the telly, you never know.
That was a big surprise to many people. Probably the most surprising thing of last night's ceremony in terms of who won, walked away with an Oscar, Tim.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And most people thought Glenn Close, who was nominated for The Wife, who was her seventh Oscar nomination. The narrative, I think, going into the Oscars last night was Glenn Close is due. It's her turn. She deserves to win the Oscar. And I think everybody in the room was surprised, and clearly Olivia Colman was surprised. I thought it was really, it was like a really kind of gracious, lovely moment between the two of them during the show, and credit to the director for catching it during the show when, in her speech, Olivia Colman said to Glenn Close, "This is not how I wanted it to be, and you've been my idol and hero for years and years," and they cut to Glenn Close, and she just looked so happy and so pleased, and it was such a like a nice human moment, as Claudia was saying earlier. And the show needs those moments. It needs those human interactions where you realize that they're not just celebrities and big movie stars. They're actually human beings. Olivia Colman was the biggest surprise. I feel bad for Glenn Close. She'll be fine. I'm not concerned for her. But I will also say that I thought that Olivia Colman's performance was better in The Favourite than Glenn Close was in The Wife. She's quite good in The Wife, and The Wife is a good movie, but I just think The Favourite is a stronger film. And often what happens is that revered veteran actors receive their Oscars for movies later in their career which are not their strongest work. If Glenn Close had won for The Wife, it would have continued that trend. Olivia Colman won for the strongest performance of the five in the category. So in some ways, I thought the Oscar voters actually got it right in terms of what they voted for.
Well, when you're talking about human moments, a lot of people found the duet sung by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper to be a very touching moment. And they got an ovation.
Yeah, and I saw this on Twitter afterwards, that when they went to commercial and then they went to sit down, the two of them, they got another standing ovation from the audience. That wasn't on TV. We didn't get to see that, but that also happened. You know, what I was saying earlier about this idea of letting the show be more about the movies and the presenters and the winners, I was actually thinking of The Shallow performance specifically, because for people whose favorite movie of last year was A Star Is Born, for 4 or 5 minutes, the show was entirely for you, because that performance between Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper was one of the real highlights. It was wonderfully choreographed and directed. Clearly, they had worked on that. And it captured, I think, one of the strongest elements of that movie. And it, you know, they weren't going to win any of the big prizes. But for that 4 or 5 minutes, Star is Born was like the biggest movie in the world. And in general, in terms of just Oscar broadcasts, I like when the Academy does that.
Well, we're talking about the Academy Awards. Tim Grierson's with us. He is senior U.S. critic for Screen International and vice president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. Claudia Puig, also with us, president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. And Travell Anderson, director of culture and entertainment for Out Magazine. And there's a lot of talk last night on the Oscars about the museum opening up, a lot of buzz about that. What came under your notice? I mean, there were little moments like when somebody thanked Carrie Fisher, which I still haven't accounted for, and said we owe everything to Carrie Fisher. I'm still, maybe one of the critics can help us understand that. But if you have questions about the Oscars, or particularly if you have strong opinions, we want to hear from you, and you can join us now at our toll-free number. It's available. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. You can also, of course, email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQEDForum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about the Oscars 2019, and we've got a trio of critics with us, Travell Anderson of Out Magazine and Claudia Puig of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. She's president, and Tim Grierson, also of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association, who's the author of Martin Scorsese and 10 Scenes and Filmcraft Screenwriting. And we welcome your involvement. In fact, let me read some comments that are coming in, a whole range of them. And you can add your voice by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going right to our website, kqed.org/forum. Here's Julia, who writes, just want to say that while some complained that the Oscars was less glitzy than usual, I appreciated the tone. The Oscars felt like a rare moment of kindness and grace. And Ben writes, in this era of streaming, binging, and declining box office participation, are the Oscars even relevant anymore? It seems to me that this award show is antiquated to the point that even hosting it is devoid of honor. Massimo writes, sick of these canned documentaries getting so much attention when amazing films like Minding the Gap are out there grinding it out, weaving a complex story out of itself. And Noel has a question, and let me go to you on this, Claudia, if I may. Why was Roma nominated for Best Foreign Film and Best Picture?
Well, Mexico submitted it as their, you know, each country submits their a film. And so that's why it was nominated for Best Foreign Film. You know, that has happened before. It's not that unusual. Having said that, a foreign film has never won, a foreign language film has never won Best Picture. So I think it was pretty much of a lock for a foreign film, foreign language film, but the Best Picture was a little bit more questionable. So I think it would have really been a, you know, it would have broken, obviously, records if it had won as Best Picture. And also the Netflix taint. I think the fact that it was, you know, there's still a lot of aversion, I think, by the old guard. And we have to remember, as much as the Academy has been making efforts to diversify to its credit, the median age is still 60, and it's still predominantly white men. So that also, I think, it, you know, going back, not to beat the dead horse of Green Book, but that's, you know, one of the reasons why Green Book, I think, won. And that's certainly, it may be also one of the reasons why Roma did not win.
What about the documentary comment that I read? I mean, Free Solo won, and your thoughts on that, Claudia?
I agree with the caller. I think Minding the Gap was a much better film. Free Solo was a kind of a flashy film. I thought it was not the best choice, and I would have loved to have seen Minding the Gap. Again, you know, a story about toxic masculinity, a different look at young men by a person of color, about people of color, you know, about a cross-section of young guys, and just, you know, great to watch with the skateboarding scenes, and also just very a really interesting look at this group of young men who formed this kind of surrogate family. That was my pick, definitely.
Well, we got lots of callers, and I want to get to as many of you as we can, but let me go first back to Travelle Anderson, because Travelle, you've been writing a good deal about fashion. Some thoughts from you, impressions from last night that you'd like people to know about?
Well, I'd just like to highlight there was a lot of velvet on the red carpet, particularly worn by men. Got to shout out Billy Porter, who had this fabulous velvet gown that he wore on the carpet that, you know, it was everything, okay? Also, some other highlights for me, I would say Regina King in white was fabulous, Angela Bassett in a fabulous pink, Gemma Chan in a fabulous pink was also wonderful.
And what about Spike Lee in purple?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not going to speak ill of Spike because he did win last night and his outfit was an homage to Prince. So,
and he also jumped into the arms of Samuel L. Jackson. That was quite a moment.
That was my favorite moment. He jumped into the arms of Samuel Jackson, who, for those who don't know, is a fellow alum of Morehouse College, which I am also an alum of. And so it was just a real fabulous moment to see them embracing each other and supporting each other in that moment.
And there was a lot of talk about Brooklyn, as there normally is with Spike Lee. He's not a man to conceal his emotions. Let's put it that way. Let me bring our callers on here, and we go first to Nancy. Nancy, join us. Welcome.
Hi. I enjoyed the show. I have two comments. One is that I was very unhappy that Isle of Dogs did not win for Best Animation. I mean, that was just unbelievable. And also for Best Foreign Film, Never Look Away by Florian, I can't pronounce his last name. I mean, it was 3 hours long, so I guess people didn't want to sit through it, but it just whizzed past, and it was one of the most amazing films I've ever seen in my life. I mean, his first film, Lives of Others, which won many years ago for Best Foreign Film, was probably the best movie I've ever seen, and this really came close to that. It was, oh God, what a great movie. And I've never understood the big brouhaha about Black Panther. I hated it. But I'm an old white woman. What can I say?
Well, but you're not embarrassed to state your opinions, and I thank you for them. You weighed in on a lot of things, including the animated. What'd you think, Tim Grierson, about Spider-Man? There were people, I guess, a little bit nettled about that.
I was not one of those. I was not nettled. I think Spider-Verse is really quite...
Tim doesn't
I was
get
really
nettled
quite,
very easily.
Claudia knows me well. She knows I'm an unnettled soul.
You are unnettable.
I like...
Are you actually unnettable?
You can't see me right now, but I am indeed in that moment. I think Isle of Dogs. I liked Isle of Dogs. I think Spider-Verse is special, and I think it is a movie as the three filmmakers have said on occasion, it's weird for them to make a comic book superhero movie that's almost under the radar somewhat, because it is a Spider-Man movie. It's part of Sony Marvel. But there is a lot of heart. There's a lot of emotion. There is a really beautiful story in here about finding your place, about belonging, about becoming a hero in your own life. And the animation is gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous in that film. So with the anime category, there actually were several strong contenders, but I thought Spider-Verse was really quite great.
Did you also agree with Bohemian Rhapsody? They actually got Oscars not only for film editing, but for sound mixing, for sound editing. I mean, they cleaned up.
Yeah, they did pretty well last night. I mean, I think what is interesting about Bohemian Rhapsody, I can't look into the souls of the Oscar voters to know what the reasons were, but if you have a movie that's about a rock and roll band, if you are someone who's not well equipped to sort of discuss sound mixing and sound editing, there's a lot of sound in Bohemian Rhapsody, so that makes sense that you would vote for that. And then in terms of editing, I think one of the narratives going into the Oscars last night was that because of the tumultuous, controversial background in terms of the making of Bohemian Rhapsody and the firing of one director and the hiring of another, I think there was this narrative of this movie was kind of a disaster and look what the editing was able to accomplish despite all of these like problems that happened. So I think there was a sympathy towards John Ottman, who won for best editing last night. But yeah, it cleaned up last night.
And we'll try to get to more of your calls. Let me go to Oakland. KDF is joining us. Good morning.
Thank you. The true story, White Boy Rick, was completely ignored. And it was especially troubling to me because I felt that Matthew McConaughey's supporting role in that film was the best supporting performance by a male actor of all the films. I just can't believe that they completely ignored that movie and his performance. It was fabulous.
Can I get a comment, Claudia Puig, on that from you?
Oh, I do not agree. I was very happy to see White Boy Rick left out. I did not, was not a fan of that film. So to each his own.
Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that. The caller obviously feels very differently, but I thank her for the call. And we'll go next to Joseph, who's calling us from L.A. Joseph, welcome.
Hello. Wow. Boring. Just awfully boring. You know, please bring back Ricky Gervais. Quit taking yourself so seriously. It used to be kind of fun to watch the Oscars. And look, this is coming from a minority. I applaud the diversity. I'm so happy to see that. But I guess my concern about bringing all the politics into the Oscars is, are we you know, effectively taking the Oscar away from the best work, when it should go to the best work, regardless of political or racial context? And again, this is coming from a minority who is very happy to see the diversity, and I applaud it. But when you look at some of the films that won, you have to question the choices. Thank you.
Okay. I thank you for that call. We'll just let it stand with the boring, and the feelings that he conveyed. Here's Rick, who writes, I was really rooting for Richard E. Grant to win Best Supporting Actor. Can You Forgive Me should have gotten attention. Like Green Book, it's based on a true story, but I think it may have been more honest. And another listener, Sue, writes, I wanted Black Klansman to win too, but I'm fine with Green Book. It was from the point of view of Tony Vallelonga. The Oscars are always imperfect. If the Oscars were perfect, then Richard E. Grant would have been nominated and won for the 1985 British film with White Nail and I. Let's go to more of your calls. And again, you can join us toll free at 866-733-6786. Here's Kirk. Kirk, join us. You're on. Oops, let me... Kirk, are you there? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm very interested in getting a better understanding of how the political climate influences the Academy's rather subjective decisions. Obviously, we had a very diverse crowd of people accepting awards this night, so I was curious about the amount of influence.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Can we do that with you, Claudia Puig? How much of an impact? There's been talk for years about lack of diversity, and there's been outcry and certainly concern, deep, profound concern about the Academy not being responsive enough, being a lot of old white men, as you said earlier. How much of that really do you think figures into actual choosing who the winners are going to be?
Well, like Tim, I can't look into the souls, nor can I even look into the exact membership and know. But I do think that the Academy is making a very concerted effort. And I like that there were at least 20 people of color presenting last night. I would say, they were not a minority of people. So I love that. And I know they've been letting more and more people in. But, it is still it's going to take a very long time to truly diversify an organization that has been so largely a block of white people and predominantly men in the industry. So I think it does figure into the decision making quite a bit, just because that is the membership. There's a lot of things that figure into it. There's also the balloting process.
I'm looking at a question from Dee, who wants to know about the impact of ranked choice voting for Best Picture. Some thoughts from you on that?
Exactly. I think that's probably one of the bigger impacts as well. I think it's a complicated system. And I think that, as soon as you have the ranked choices, what can happen is the second or third choice of most people can end up, being the best picture. So I think that's a huge determinant of what wins. I think I loved that we saw the level of diversity last night on the show and with the winners. But the Academy still has a long way to go, as most organizations do, as the country does.
Again, Claudia Puig is president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association, and our next caller is Gwen. Gwen, you're on. Morning.
Hi. I love how Netflix is turning the film industry on its head, because a film like Roma would never have been picked up by a big studio like Warner Brothers. And I like how Netflix, Hulu, and the other one, Amazon, are producing these movies that major Hollywood studios wouldn't produce. Also, one of the words that's grating on my nerves, like have a nice day, is the word diversity. I mean, we still have racism, even if you have diversity, because a lot of these ethnic groups don't like each other and don't get along. And I love how you, what Spike Lee said, you follow all the rules and they keep, they keep changing the chairs around. So that's my comment.
Okay, I thank you for the comment. There was something last night that maybe some listeners missed. It took me a moment to realize when Rami Malek was giving essentially his props and thanking people and so forth. The first person he thanked was Emily Boynton, who I'd seen the camera pan. I didn't realize that was the love interest of Freddie Mercury in the whole Bohemian Rhapsody. She played that role. I just wanted to mention that, and we'll go to some more of your calls. Let me get to Anna Maria in Berkeley. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, hello. I would love to hear your panel talk about Blindspotting and why it wasn't nominated for anything. I just thought it was fantastic. The rap was so poetic, and it was, dealing with very important issues. So I just would love to hear the panel talk about their opinion on that.
Any opinion from you, Travelle? We haven't gone to you in a bit. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think Blindspotting, for me, was one of the best films of last year. It's unfortunate that I think David Diggs did not get any kind of attention for his particular role.
Also an Oakland lad, originally.
Yes, an Oakland native. But I think it also comes down to there were a lot of really great films last year, and everything can't get nominated. And also when you have, a smaller independent type of film like a Blindspotting, if it doesn't get picked up by the right studio, and if the right studio doesn't do the right job around promoting it and making sure people see it, then it makes it difficult for it to, muster any attention and get to the award shows.
Yeah, well, then, with that, and sorry to bother you, you think there was maybe a little bit of bias against Oakland, but I won't go there. Let me go instead to some comments by listeners. Arlene writes, I found it ironic that what happened to Glenn Close at the Oscars last night paralleled what happened to her character in The Wife. That might be a stretch, but strong feelings nonetheless. Here's Cheryl, who writes, I'd like to give a shout-out to Marashala Ali, an alumnus of St. Mary's College of California in Moraga. He spoke at my son's SMC graduation in May of 2016, and his kind and sincere commencement address is a fond memory. His acceptance speech reflected the same genuine character. More of your calls. Let's go next to Chris in Santa Cruz. Good morning.
Good morning. I was watching the animation awards last night, and this has happened a couple times over the years where I really felt like the category should be split in two between, you know, the fully digital Pixar-type films and then things like stop motion and other more traditional forms of, you know, even hand-drawn animation. And I'll just leave you guys to it.
Well, Chris makes a point. Yeah, Tim Gerson, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that, splitting it.
It's an interesting point. I mean, one of the things that I think is challenging in that category is you have so many different styles of animation. Even the five nominees are so different in terms of how they're kind of put together. And also the bigger companies, they tend to be more popular with the Oscar voters. You usually get a Pixar movie. It actually was sort of shocking, the Spider-Verse one, because it was from Sony. I don't know if they're going to split it. I think that probably is not going to happen. I think what often happens is that four of the five nominees are big digitally animated movies from studios, and then like one small kind of beautiful handmade thing like Mirai for this year gets nominated and gets into the category. I think in general, the hand-drawn animation doesn't get a lot of love. Weirdly enough, it gets more love in the short subject, where those are really kind of labors of love. And I think when people nominate those films, they really sort of appreciate how difficult it is to do that hand-drawn animation.
We're going to go to more of your calls. I was also struck, and I want to mention this, Claudia Puig, to you, with the documentary short subject speech that was given about period end of sentence. It was actually caused a good deal of mirth.
Yes. yes, it was the first time, I think they said something like the first time menstruation's ever been brought up at the Oscars or something. But and that was a very worthy win, I thought. And it was wonderful to see the enthusiasm of the filmmakers. That was one of the other, you know, along with
Skin.
You know, Spike Lee jumping into the arms of Samuel L. Jackson. I mean,
I mentioned people. Skin, though, too. The woman was absolutely ecstatic.
It was Skin. That's right. It wasn't period end of sentence. Yes, both of those. Yeah.
Both of those.
I thought those were great wins, and it was nice to see a bevy of women accepting an award. That's something, you know, we're very used to seeing lots of men get up there and accept an award, but it was great to see a group of women.
Agree. And more of your calls. Let's go next to Karen and join us. Karen, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. I wanted to concentrate a little bit more on Glenn Close's performance in The Wife, and I also saw Olivia Colman in The Favorite, thought she was excellent. I didn't agree with one of your critics because I thought Glenn Close's performance was so restrained and nuanced. It took amazing acting skill to be able to put that together. And I think I resented the one critic from kind of inferring that she's from a more traditional genre, from older time frame. I did feel she deserved the Best Actress Award. I think being able to put together that performance and hold the movie for that length of time took genius. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you so much.
Glad you did, Karen, and thank you for that call. And here's Muralai, who tweets to us, I did not watch the ceremony, but I was disappointed that Vice only won for makeup. I thought Christian Bale was astonishingly good in that movie, but to be fair, it was the only nominated movie I watched. Let me get another caller on here, and let's go next to James. James, you were not bored last night like the caller who said boring, 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 yeah?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I watched the Oscars to look at who won what and why, and so I thought it was the best one ever. I really did. The other thing is I agreed with that caller that the Oscars should be awarded based on merit, but the corollary to that is you got to make sure that the Academy represents, you know, all the different diversity that we have in the country, so that you know that, you know, when it is based on merit, it's also based on everybody's opinion. You get an honest, you get an honest result.
All right. I thank you for that call, James. And Travell Anderson, I don't know if you have the answer to this listener's question. We were talking to you about fashion. This listener says, what were the buttons Spike Lee had on his hat and jacket? Do you know, Travell?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, he had a ring. He had two rings. One said love and one said hate. I know that.
The rings are from are original from the Do the Right Thing movie. Yeah. They were designed by Ruthie Carter, who won for Black Panther costume design last night. But they were worn by the character who is killed by police in Do the Right Thing.
And he did mention Do the Right Thing when he talked about voting in the next presidential election.
He always got to slide it in. He's always got to slide it in.
But you don't know what anybody know what those buttons were? This listener wants to know. On his hat or jacket? Well, we'll try to do some research on that, see if we can find out. In the meantime, we'll take some more of your calls. Andrea joins us. Andrea, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to second Blindspotting. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I was curious about it being nominated for possibly screenplay. Leave No Trace is another movie that I found out of the blue and was totally floored by. I was curious on your thoughts on these independent films ever being nominated for Best Picture if they're not campaigned for. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for that call. Tim Grierson?
I heard Claudia say yes.
Yeah,
when,
I wanted to jump in there.
Okay, I didn't hear her say yes, but go ahead.
I almost want to yield my time.
You want to defer to Claudia,
To Claudia, because I think
I
she can speak
I will take it if you want to.
Please, please go ahead.
I completely agree about Leave No Trace. That was my second favorite movie of the year after Roma. And the director, Deborah Granik, who we at the LA Film Critics gave our best director vote to or award to.
Claudia, can I ask you something about Roma, just because it piques my curiosity? I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a first-rate film. But there are those who felt, and people who I really respect, not only critics but friends and acquaintances, who said too much marinating in the beginning. In other words, there was that word boring again, following her through. I mean, I think it was important to establish the kind of work that she did and make you feel and understand what she did day after day, but got a lot of criticism.
Yes, I heard those complaints as well. I didn't share them. To me, you know, there's a lot of foreign films that that take a while to marinate, that you marinate in, and I don't have a problem with slow-paced films necessarily, as you know, if nothing is going on, I understand people's concerns. What he was trying to establish was the quotidian nature of her life and what was going on. To me, it was developing the character. It was just you had to adjust to that pace. And I think we've been so trained to a certain kind of a pace. Certainly some movies are frenetic, but, you know, action. And I think this was much more contemplative. To me, it felt more like a novel unfolding. And because I love to read, I don't have a problem with the slow pace. But I did hear those complaints, particularly about the first, like, 45 minutes of that film.
Here's a listener who tweets, best ceremony of movie awards in a decade. No joke. Also, Selma Blair is the essence of arts-inspiring society. I guess she made her first public appearance since she had been announced that she was diagnosed with MS. She walked the red carpet with a cane, and that was certainly noteworthy and courageous. Let me get some more callers on here while we have a little time. Cecile, thank you for waiting. You're on.
Thank you. You know, I always watch the Oscars because I feel I want to participate in something that's not, you know, I don't watch football, so it's almost like joining the populace. And after it was over, and there were some wonderful things in it, I'm not putting everything down, but after it was over, I happened to have taken out of my library Wim Wenders' film, The Pope, Man of His Word. And I watched that, and his vow of poverty so spoke to me. And I found that the excess of the gowns and all of that excess of the stage set was so obscene. And I felt like I needed to take a vow of poverty after having watched that. And I just wanted to raise that question. Is this what we're showing our young people is the goal of life, is that excess of wealth? I would have loved it, you know, in the Me Too movement when all the women just wore black. And I would love it to be simpler, 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 and to mean what some of the people spoke about and the fact that Roma, you know, won. So I just wanted to bring that up without being, somebody who's, like, just
you know, a Puritan or something.
No, it's good of you to bring up those comments and appreciate it. I should say the Super Bowl probably had a lot less suspense than, since you mentioned football, than the Oscars did in terms of who was going to win or lose. And there were no deflated footballs. Let me thank you for the call. We've got very little time left here. Anybody want to talk about highlights, Travell, that we maybe didn't cover?
I do want to say I did do some Googling and I looked at pictures of Spike Lee's outfit.
Ah.
The buttons are of they're the logo from his film Black Klansman. They're, it's a triangle with two holes in it representing the hood that Klansmen would wear.
Well, thank you for looking that up. You've solved the curiosity.
Quick fingers.
Yeah.
Aside from that, other moments, I think for me, one thing that I've been highlighting is I think we've seen with last night's wins, we had three fabulous actors in particular win for straight cisgender heterosexual actors win for playing LGBTQ plus roles in Mahershala Ali, Olivia Colman, and Rami Malek. Two of them recognize the parts of the LGBTQ identities of their characters. I'd love to see us get to a point where we have LGBTQ people playing LGBTQ characters and winning Oscars for those particular roles.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, Travell Anderson. Thank you, Claudia Puig. And thank you, Tim Grierson. Good to have all of you aboard. And hope you enjoyed the Oscars last night. If you didn't, you can continue this discussion. Let us know what you liked, what you didn't like by going to our website, kqed.org/forum. Thanks for being a part of this morning's Forum program. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.